This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Da, 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 da. It's C.S. Sangweni.
Yes, he is. In his natural habitat. It's
Ben Karpinski. Is he digging around in his bag?
Yeah, I am.
What do you got in there, Ben?
I'm trying to find one of my handy spectacle glasses cleaner.
What do you need to clean?
My
screen.
My glasses.
Oh.
It's a descriptor. Yeah, so I'll get to that in a bit.
That's exciting, Ben. What a way to start the morning, looking for your glasses cleaner.
Well, Gareth, as they say, you only live one life.
Yeah, and you might as well make it important and see through the glasses that you have. Right?
It's very correct.
Oh, there was something important I had to tell you right up front.
Oh, geez.
Yes, yes, right
this
at the beginning.
This is intense.
You know our Cliff Central unwired earphones? A lot of people are saying, oh, well, 550 Rand, oh, it's a bit expensive. So we've dropped the price to 499 a pair until the 27th of July. That means you've got a couple of days now to buy a pair of those for just 499.
Which is nice because that's what most people have left after the school holidays.
Exactly. So is it the end of the school holidays today?
The school holidays ended like... They're
either starting or ending.
When did my nephew go back to school?
How do you know this? Do you drive past a school?
No, I just generally...
You don't have children.
I know. Look, it's a shot in the dark, Gareth, that I'm more right than I'm wrong.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe you're right.
Oh, they got back to school last week.
See, Ben, look at you.
My theory works.
Mm. 499 Rand a pair on sale until the 27th of July. Get your Cliff Central unwired earphones. And I don't know if you heard that ad, but there's a lottery, 100 million rand. Now, you know, a lot of people say to me, you're stupid if you do the lottery.
Why?
Well, because your chances of winning. Greg explained it to me yesterday. If you had two football fields and you put a pin somewhere on the football field, and you took one tennis ball and you threw it somewhere on that two football field space and you hit the pin, that's like winning the lottery. Those are your chances. And even that's like not even the best comparison. How's that, huh? It's hardly any.
Like, this is one of those arguments people have for the eternity. The thing is that pin can be hit, right?
Sure. Someone's got to hit
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So... Huh. That is kind of all you need to know about the argument that it can be hit.
Might as well be you, right?
Because we can all stand here. I mean, look, again, if you're like a smoker and you're spending 40 Rand on a pack of cigarettes, like what is that doing for you other than make you look like an idiot?
Nothing.
So now you've got 40 Rand.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a smoker and you want to tell Pete, you want to poo-poo lottery playing.
Right.
Yeah, you got to get your head out of your ass.
Right. May as well. I mean, listen, for 100 million, maybe worth it.
So you waste 5 Rand or 10 Rand.
Yes.
Look at so that, 100 so days to do better, Ben.
Exactly, see.
If you don't play, you won't win.
Yeah.
Mm.
Got to be in it to win it. Is
what,
a much
honestly,
phrase.
What would be...
Fist on the table.
What would be... And I love playing this game. What would be the thing you would buy yourself? Totally selfishly and stupidly. Don't tell me you'd invest or you'd pay off your bond or you'd buy a... You know, a better pair of wheels for your car, or I don't want to know those practical, real things. What would be the thing you would buy if you won 100 million rand? And first of all, the government are going to take their bit because it's so fucked up, right? I mean, this is the national lottery, but they still have to tax it. So greedy. But what would you buy? What's the one thing you'd indulge yourself with?
Around the world holiday.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's straight what up. You want, huh? How about you, Sia?
I'm really going superficial here. I have two things in my head.
Yeah?
First is to just go really over the top rah-jah-jah on my place. Just renovate it.
Oh,
you
renovate your house like...
Ridiculous
to the
features.
Max, yeah?
Ridiculous features. Like...
Like what?
A suede leopard print wallpaper in my bedroom.
I can imagine.
Okay.
No. Bedazzled mirror ceilings.
Basically Elton John's house.
Plush purple carpets.
See, I would go for Elton John's house. He'd go for the revamp.
Some stupid things. I'd monochrome a whole range of gowns for me to wear.
Listen to this.
You know, just really stupid things.
Nolo, what would you do? If you won 100 million rand in the lottery, what would you buy? For you, selfishly.
Shit, I don't know. It's not something that I've really thought about, you know?
Come on, you indulge yourself. You suddenly have your bank balance is suddenly 100 million rand.
Mm.
I'd probably spoil myself with a very fast car. I haven't decided.
Ah, now we're talking. All right. Would it be a very bright color?
It'll be black.
Black, yeah. Like Ooh. That. I like that. Mm. I don't know what I would do. So many things.
100 million.
Yeah, so much. So much I would like. Oh, man. The stuff I want to build, places I want to go and see, I would be busy. 100 million, that's what they say you could win. All right, so enough about the fantasy. Here is a great email. Listen to this. I got this from Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hmm. Brian says, good morning. I was sent a clip of Garrett's comments on the Eastern Cape and East London and wish to express my massive concern at how uninformed his opinion and comments were. I generally admire his professional approach to the way he does things, but in this instance, he has clearly not done his homework. His comments were prejudiced and subjective. If the CBD of East London is like the Central African Republic, and it looks like, in inverted commas, the whole place has been shut down, and, quote, there is nothing left other than street vagrants and fast food outlets. Oh. And there is litter everywhere. And if it is a disgrace and not fit for human consumption, then clearly he has not been to East London.
Wow, are those your...
Yes, this is for real.
Are those your words?
I don't know, I must have said it. While it's clearly not like it used to be, most other cities have also deteriorated under ANC local government rule. His comments are extremely damaging to the image of the metro, whose business sector is working extremely hard to attract investment. The last thing we need is for Gareth Cliff to tarnish the city's image with his jaundiced view of a city he clearly hates.
Yeah, bloody right.
As a so-called professional, I love this. I love when people say to you, you should be doing this because you do that. So Brian has some advice for me. As a so-called professional, I would have thought that he would have at least done some research on the state of East London prior to talking the crap he did. I request that he visits East London to see for himself what the real situation is and then apologizes for his bigoted, unfair, and uninformed remarks about East London. Brian.
Okay. Hmm. Are you willing to visit East London?
I've been to East London, I don't know, 100 times? Been there 100
times?
Well, okay, not 100 times.
What, do you have any peas on the side down there?
No, okay, it's probably, maybe it's 20. I've been there at least 20 times. And driving through there, and usually I've been there on a weekend, driving through the place, it does look like it's shut down over a weekend. And I stand by all my comments. And what I was talking about, actually, was the township in East London, which I have first-hand evidence. Okay, it's not first-hand because I didn't do it. So someone I know very well and trust was there last week and saw it with his own eyes and reported back to me. It was really, really sad and really backward and really deteriorated. So, you know what, Brian? I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, I apologize for nothing. And East London is a dump. And I wouldn't want to live there. And if you gave me the best house in East London, I wouldn't move there.
Well, we know what you're doing with your 100 million.
Not going to East London.
That's it.
I'm not trying to balance this, but if someone gave me the best house in East London, I'd live there for a few months.
By the way,
it overlooks the golf course. The golf course is amazing.
No, it's pretty. Actually, East London is not so bad. I just love giving people in the Eastern Cape shit because they know they live in a bad part of the country. They know, dude. There's no jobs there. It's just a disaster, right? And I think East London is way prettier than Port Elizabeth, for example. Way prettier. It's got some beautiful green areas. It's got... those bays, it's got beaches that are enviable. It's got a nice hilly. It's got a little harbour. Yeah, it's cute. East London's very pretty, but the CBD is a disgrace. It's a dump. It looks like it's been abandoned. Really, it's like in The Walking Dead.
Okay, that's pushing it. I was there last year. It didn't look abandoned. It looked like they were trying hard to add another fast food outlet.
Um.
Same.
I don't know. I've got friends in East London. Well, a friend, a guy called Darren. He's cool. Darren and his wife live there.
Did he run a fast food outlet?
No, but if I gave Darren the option of moving out, I reckon he would.
Oh, same. Same.
And by the way, what is wrong with people? You are not allowed to cut up our podcasts and send them to your friends. Listen to the whole thing or tell them at 10 minutes and 53 seconds this douchebag Gareth talks about East London. Do not cut up our podcasts. Fuck, we work hard to make these things. You get them for free. I get zero fucking rand out of the data that you spend on downloading our stuff. Zero. We get in here every morning. We do a good 2, maybe even 3 hours in some days of content. It is fantastic, but it is hard work. Don't cut up my podcasts and send them to our website. At least we get the hits and we could sell those numbers to advertisers and maybe I can make some money back after 4 fucking years. Don't cut it up.
We work hard for our money.
Damn right. Cut up my podcasts. Send them to some activist called Brian in East London. You've been to East London?
I have.
You have? What
I
do you think?
I was actually born in East London, but okay. I grew up in Cape Town.
Ah, so we have an East Londoner on the team. Who knew? You see, I'm so prejudiced. Like, we hire people from East London, Brian. What do you think of East London? Do you like it?
The thing is, I left when I was like 4, so I don't...
See, you did the right thing.
I never went back.
No, you got out.
Yeah.
You got out while there was time. By the way, you can call Nolo. She's sitting there waiting for your calls. 0861-555-189. 0861-555-189. You been to East London, Sia?
I don't think I have, actually.
No, you know, you would know if you had.
Yo.
It's got its own airport. It's not like you would just get lost trying to buy booze and pee
which
and suddenly...
Which airport? Which airport is it? Do we know?
East London Airport.
East London Airport.
No, does not ring a bell. I definitely have not been there. To PE. PE's quaint. I like that.
Quaint. PE's a proper city. East London is quaint is a good thing. Quaint is a nice word.
Well, I say Clarence, because all quaint. I know is the boardwalk in PE. That's all.
Yeah, that's... Listen, I love giving the Eastern Cape shit because when I started off in radio, I said something about how Port Elizabeth is the armpit of South Africa. There are old people who live there who read one or two of the newspapers there that have never forgiven me. They still hold a grudge. And whenever they see me, they spit and they curse.
Sure.
Yeah.
You walk through East London.
What do you mean they spit and curse? They're already spitting. They're just cursing on top of it.
I curse you. I curse you. Your unkind words about Port Elizabeth. You muckraking, dirty, disgusting, revolting devil children!
Wow. Wow.
No, we should really do an outside broadcast in the Eastern Cape somewhere.
I think so, we should. We should go to East London.
It'd be like a truth and reconciliation kind of session. We can just interview people for East London in PE on rotation. There's a three-hour show. No,
level with me. I'd really love to just speak to someone very honestly and very openly about how it goes in East London and what it's like living there. And no judgment. I want to hear like what the day-to-day concerns are, whether there are jobs, whether the water and electricity supply is stable, that kind of thing. And then we can get into whether or not I'm being unkind. Because I don't think it's a hovel. But it is nice to talk about places like East London from time to time because they don't get a lot of attention. I mean, when last did anyone in... I haven't heard people talk... Not even the people in East London talk about East London. You know when you ask someone from the Eastern Cape, say, where are you from? They go, East London or PE, but I'm moving to X, Y, and Z. They always attach, but I'm moving out, or but I left when I was 3, or but da-da-da-da. There's always like lines that come afterwards. Seriously.
There's some people who just like that part of the world for whatever reason that skips me right now.
Here's an email from East London.
Well, Gareth, just a little quick little stat here. East London was ranked the third most congested SA city back in 2014.
Wow. So there's traffic.
I think it's because it's just that they got a very badly planned main road. There's a circle that's a little bit skew, and the thoroughfare's a bit wonky.
Maybe that's it, huh, Ben? You're not helping. You're piling on, Ben.
But also, there's only one road that goes in. So the beautiful harbour's on the right, and the road that goes into the town.
Yeah, that is only one from
always,
the airport.
Always traffic busy, on yeah. that.
And there's the Mercedes-Benz factories on
further
the one
back
side.
On the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we do know what we're talking about. I went to a restaurant there one night and before.
I think the Fisherways is the first fast food you should get.
I went to a restaurant there the one night, and there was some kind of altercation. Someone started shouting and screaming and smashing dishes or something.
Oh, jeez.
What the hell's going on here? It's so weird. It's just a weird place. Hey, Gareth, this is Celeste from East London checking in. She says, checking in from East London.
Oh,
so this is a serious theme for the morning. I heard you complaining you want us to call because sometimes you feel like you're talking into the void. I must assure you, your listeners are here. No, I just meant I like it when people call. I just like a different voice every now and then. I'm self-employed as a facilitator and design OB training manuals, learning programs and assessments. That means I don't have to wake up at 6 a.m. every morning. But because of you guys, I do. Isn't that nice?
Oh, wow.
My alarm is set for 5:55 a.m. in the week because I cannot start my day without your banter. Perhaps the reason why the calls are not coming in as thick and fast as you would like is because people are really busy washing their naughty bits at the time and getting to where they have to be. That's true.
Well, that's what I'd be doing if I wasn't here.
Yeah, I've never called into a morning radio show, so I totally understand that. People like me, who really only leave the house at that time in the morning for 3 to 6 days a month, don't call in because we either have nothing significant to add to the conversation, or we don't want to reveal how much we adore listening to you over our partners. That's interesting.
Okay. Fair point.
It also doesn't help that the new format of playing recorded conversations from 8 to 9 essentially closes the door to calls. You frequently complain about the bad phone lines, but there's always Skype. Love you lots, like jelly tots from Celeste in East London. Isn't that nice?
Ah, oh, East London.
Yeah.
That's a balanced view from East London this morning.
And then there's Oki, who says... Yeah, Gareth, Ben, and Sia, I have to laugh every time you guys talk about how dangerous Australia is with all its spiders and snakes. I can assure you that there is nothing further from the truth. Compared to South Africa, Australia is a Sunday school picnic. Whereas in Oz, the creatures are only found in the bush, in South Africa, they are everywhere. In South Africa, and especially Gauteng, your life is in danger from the moment you leave your house. Even inside your own house, you can get hijacked and killed at any intersection or at your house's gate if you don't live in a gated community. I work in my garden a lot here in Australia. Not that I want to, but the wife has to be kept happy. And never have I been bitten by anything deadly.
See, that's so Australia. Even the venomous animals are like, they behave.
Yeah.
It's like, no, stay in line.
There are rules.
No rules.
Right. We often go camping in rural areas. Never have I been attacked by a lion or any of the big five because they don't live in Australia. So believe me, Australia is far safer to live in than South Africa. Never do I have to look over my shoulder to see who next is going to attack me.
Don't know. Okay, it sounds like there's a brown snake with a knife to your throat while you type that.
Cheers and thanks for a great show every day. Have a good weekend. Okay, in Darwin, Australia.
Oh, Darwin? Jeepers, there's crocodiles with hind legs that run there. Okay, you took you out your ass. Darwin, they got like this hybrid crocodile shark snakes. Because it's tropical up there.
Darwin. Where's Darwin? I need to look at a map.
It's like right at the top. So basically, you're in the Philippines, essentially. It's so far north.
Ow.
Like no one originally lived there because the crocodiles ran the place. And then there was some mining interests, and then...
Darwin. Oh, my God. It's far in the north, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Darwin, Northwest Territory. Situated on the Timor Sea. Yeah, it's right up in the north. Darwin is the largest city in the sparsely populated Northern Territory.
Why is it sparsely populated?
Do you know how many people live in Darwin? 145,916. That's like how many people live in four ways.
How many crocodiles?
700,000. Yep. Yeah, there we go. They say here, infrastructure, tourism, sister cities, blah, blah, blah. This is interesting. Relatively large numbers of Chinese immigrants settled there in the 1870s. And they were mainly contracted to work in the gold fields and later the Palmerston to Pine Creek Railway. Huh. Darwin.
And then the crocodiles ate them, basically. So.
Yeah, the crocodiles ate the entire population. One year there were no people left in Darwin. And they steadily built themselves up again.
Okay, I mean, Crocodile Dundee, where do you think that came from? There were so many crocodiles, they made a superhero around crocodiles.
That's true.
When your cult figure has crocodile in his name.
What did you say? They walk on their hind legs?
They do. They've evolved so much. When your cult hero has crocodile in his name, Oki.
So there's three emails. You want another one?
Sure.
We're on a roll, right?
Is it from East London?
This is from...
Wait, stop. There's a picture here. I've got
Marcel.
To show you.
This is from Marcel. Bring me the picture before we get to Marcel.
Look, Gareth, that's in Darwin.
Jesus. There's a crocodile coming out of the water, chasing a man on a boat. The man is on the boat and the crocodile's coming to get him.
He's on the boat holding a machete and the crocodile's just...
Not interested. The crocodile is going to kill and eat him.
Okay, that could be a last email. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
All right. Marcel says, "Hey guys, on our flight from Cape Town to Joburg, back from our honeymoon, Alan Ford sat behind us."
Oh, shame.
"I must say, you guys did not exaggerate. He literally spoke to the girl next to him the entire way."
Right.
"But definitely a super nice guy. When I told him I listened to your show, he said I should send you a selfie of us. So that is attached." And then Marcel sent a picture of him and Alan and his fiance. Poor woman.
"So it was a great flight. Great flight."
Oh, can you imagine?
"Great flight with Alan Ford."
Can you imagine Alan Ford being on your flight with you? As if those flights from Cape Town, it's 2 hours, right?
God
2 hours.
Bless the people who he was talking to.
You a great show today. So we're going to have a great show today. Great show. Today's got a great show.
All right. Thank you, Alan. You can look forward to him on Thursday. P.S. for Ben, says Marcel, "I work with and sit in the same office as Victor Matfield, so I played him the one show where Ben said the Supersport B team includes Victor, and he was really not impressed. That was so funny."
Yeah, well, Victor, I was not impressed that morning you rocked up a fan court with a red hot rum hangover and I had to carry you for 18 holes, and we lost on the 18th. Yeah. Circle Jesus. Of life, buddy.
I play that for him too, Marcel. Isn't that nice?
Victor's great.
Hang on. Victor Matfield's on the line for you, Ben.
Fuck you!
Jesus. His English is definitely getting better.
Wow.
So any updates on Darwin there? I saw you doing some research.
Seriously, I typed in Darwin crocodiles. There's a man here who's been maimed by a crocodile. Mm-hmm. He's got three fingers left. He looks like he's got a chicken trotter for a hand. And on his shirt, it says Northern Territory Government. So that is where it happened. Perfect in there. The guy's pinky and ring finger is gone.
He's good. Morning, guys. Does WhatsApp message not work anymore? Well, I just got your WhatsApp, so there's your answer. Hey, Gareth, says Charlie's Bird. Darwin has less people than East London. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
How many fast food outlets, though?
Well, we don't know. And then someone sent me a picture of the Eastern Cape. It's like a sunrise this morning. Huh. And someone else says, East London is happy to be South Africa's best kept secret.
To each his own.
That was very diplomatic, sir.
I think.
Someone else is saying here that before the lottery was a machine with balls in it. The other day I played and then tuned in to watch, and guess what? It was fucking computerized. Animated balls on a screen. That's got rigged written all over it.
I was talking to a younger generation.
Yeah, I think the balls in the, you know, the with the barrel that you turn is kind of, it's a bit old-fashioned.
They also couldn't find women smart enough to do it.
Well, didn't they try like Amor was one of them, and then Mini Dlamini, and yeah, they went through a whole lot of women.
Oh, I just thought it was that Nimrod guy was there for like ever.
Yeah, he was there too, but they always had a girl spinning the barrel.
Oh, guys.
Remember they had a barrel with a handle and you crank it.
Oh, no.
And then it would spit out a ball. And we'd go, 7, 23, 8.
I actually 13. Thought, don't judge me for this, for a while I thought it was the coolest job in the world.
What, to be the lotto girl?
Well, the announcer, because they would always find a rhyme. Like, what is it like? You're going to be mine with lucky number 9. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
You wanted to do that?
Yeah, I just wanted it to be the cool lotto guy who makes rhymes from the numbers. I thought that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they still do that, hey? What channel does
the lotto? Yeah, I mean, the things that you aspire to growing up, your childhood was always the most entertaining thing. But you're right, there was always this universal like universal cliche around the lottery girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was like how you never had to be smart, and people always ripped them off about just taking the numbers out.
They were 2 seconds away from just wearing like velvet gloves that went right up to their elbows.
Yeah, and they were always just, there was always some sort of Me Too movement waiting to happen.
Oh,
well. There's a clip from Family Guy of this lottery girl who wants to be a model, right? Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, because everyone tries to become a model by doing a lottery person.
Right, so in other words, I mean, isn't this what Meghan Markle used to do?
She was a Deal or No Deal girl.
Yeah, she held a suitcase and Deal or No Deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's probably where Harry noticed her the first time. He was like, gosh, that girl with the suitcase looks really smashing.
Cracking bird.
A cracking great bird, that. Oh, I've got to get myself into that suitcase. Surprise her.
How romantic.
Yeah, don't you think? What's going on with my internet here? Why am I having problems?
Is it registered in East London?
It's probably. I'm going to blame East London anyway, just to get Brian all fired up. Imagine poor Brian. He's having He wrote that email. He was furious. You can tell, right? He was so angry with me. And I haven't even apologized. I didn't care.
We're here live in our studio.
Plus, we piled on.
Yeah, but Brian, we actually do love you.
Of course we do.
When you make that effort, you go up in our books.
But Brian, listen to the show. Don't cut clips from it and piss me off, all right? All right, so here it is. This clip from Family Guy.
Yeah. Checkout girl in a cheap dress who wants to be a model is ready to draw the winning numbers. That's a 3, honey. Turn it around.
This!
31.
Spooky ghost mouth.
That's a 0.
Snowman.
8.
2 sailboats.
44.
17.
No, that's... Oh, yes, that is 17. She's good at 17. Well, folks, those are our winning numbers. Good luck to all of us.
24.
No, that's it. We're done. Anyone watching, do not count 24.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
See, it's a talent. It's a talent. Great. You need to know this. You need to know how to make it rhyme.
That's exactly right. All right, we got to get to the 5 things you need to know. Is that what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a day when President Trump does not make the news?
Don't think so.
Have you heard about the trade war that's going on? Anthea brought it up the other day.
Yeah, she has. And it's been, like, last month it's been a part of the news.
Later on, we don't turn a blind eye to Trump's aluminium trade war and the way that that affects us as South Africans. Every Tuesday, we don't turn a blind eye to issues that affect all of us. Make sure you download the podcast on cliffcentral.com now.
Bless you.
Oh, God, I think I'm getting sick. Oh,
no.
Yeah, I am.
No.
I'm telling you.
Knock on wood and all of those
Every
things.
Tuesday, we don't turn a blind eye to issues that affect all of us. Make sure you download the podcast now on cliffcentral.com. Don't Turn a Blind Eye To is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Turn your blinds or doorways into your room's best accessory with Taylor Blinds and Shutters. You'll be spoilt for choice between Taylor's aesthetic blinds and functional shutters, which would bring a world of color, texture, patterns, and taste to your space. Find out more at cliffcentral.com today. All right, where should we begin with the news this morning? The 5 things you need to know. What do you want to know? Do you want to know about Eskom?
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Are they going to cut power soon?
Oh, please. Don't say that as if it's not already known that they're going to screw up somewhere. Eskom has blamed previous leadership and governance for financial woes. You know, there are just some people in the world who cannot take personal responsibility for anything. You know who it is? It's the government. Do you know why? Because the government appointed the Eskom board. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
How about some personal responsibility, you fucks?
They appoint the board because it's a state property.
Yeah, well, it's a state-owned enterprise. So Pravin Gordhan sits there. I mean, you were in the cabinet that's appointed previous Eskom boards. Don't suddenly pretend that you had nothing to do with this disaster that we sit with today, Pravin. Everybody worships Pravin, like, because he doesn't seem corrupt, right? He doesn't look like the kind of guy who steals money. But he's still cuck, because he still appointed some terrible people and was in cabinet when terrible people were appointed to boards of SAA and Eskom. And by the way, I'm hearing terrible things about SAA from people.
Oh.
Yeah, that their planes are not as serviceable as they once were. Oh. That the staff on board are rude. That the whole thing's falling apart. I'm not going to fly SAA anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm not taking the chance.
I'd prefer not to.
The minute that an airline stops looking after its staff and its planes, you've got problems. Because you need to trust those people. You need to be sure. Anyway, back to Eskom. So Eskom says its current financial problems are due to leadership and governance issues of the past, which resulted in a 2.3 billion rand loss. 2.3 billion rand? The power utility released its annual financial results on Monday, saying the focus this year has been on cleaning up and stabilizing the company. Well, isn't that what the focus has supposedly been for the last 20 years?
Yeah, it seems like a safe bet when you say you're doing that.
Yeah. It's also been revealed that there's 19.6 billion rand in irregular expenditure. This is insane! 19 billion rand? In irregular... That means they've stolen that. When they say irregular expenditure, you know what they mean, right?
Yeah, it's like renting a chair for 100,000 rand a month.
Correct.
From your uncle.
Correct. It's all that dodgy stuff that goes on. Don't you laughing, Nolo. This is how they work at Eskom. Oh, you need a chair for your office, Nolo. Here's one for... Can you just send me an invoice for 200,000 rand for your chair? But my chair isn't plated in gold, Gareth. Oh, I see. But don't worry. I'm telling you. How do you get 19.6 billion rand in irregular expenditure?
Who signs this off? Because the thing about theft, even in somewhere like Eskom, is that there still is a finance department, right? So someone still has to sign this off. You can't just walk in there and just take like Scrooge McDuck's vault.
Unreal.
Hey guys.
Eskom CEO Phakamani Khadebe says the latest financial results show how the company has struggled over the... You don't say. That you're a rocket scientist. Thanks for that, Einstein. Wow, we've got some low-functioning people at Eskom. Huh?
Look at the results. The results show we've struggled. You must be the brains in the business. That's right, we really struggled, haven't we?
What? Would you like the Nobel Peace Prize for figuring that one out?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sus. He says, it was bound to happen because we were in big, big trouble. How do you have 10 CEOs in 10 years? What unfortunately happened was what was known as a corporate plan that did not talk to the shareholders and did not talk to the day-to-day operations of the business. I hate when people talk like that about talking to things. This is corporate speak. These are people who've been in cushy jobs for too long. Telling you, when you start talking like that, your head's so far up your ass you don't even know which way is out.
Aye. Oh, visuals.
That's deep, ass, yeah.
Visuals. No, deep. It's deep up an ass.
I'm telling you.
That in the morning.
Eskom has suffered a 2.3 billion rand loss compared to a profit of 900 million last year. A whopping 19.6 billion and counting in irregular expenditure over the past 6 years is also a concern. A concern?
19 billion rand later.
Chairman Jabu Mabuza says they're cleaning up. We have to take some short-term pain to achieve long-term gains and the Eskom of the future that we all want to see. You know what Eskom I want to see in the future? No Eskom.
Yeah.
I want to see private companies running power in this country. I want to see them offering competitive prices and I want to see them giving us regular, uninterrupted service. That's what I'd like to see. Eskom is the worst way of getting no power to nobody. It is the most badly run business I have ever encountered in the short span of my business life. There is nowhere else in the world that people get paid to go to a job where they asked, where the public is asked to use less of their product, charged more for it, and the company still loses money. It's too stupid to be in a parody. Eskom. Someone's got to walk in there and switch off Eskom.
I see what you did there.
Really?
Switch off.
Just get us... You know what? They should sell all of the assets. Sell the power stations. Sell the grid. Let people start their own private power supplies wherever. We can all start putting in solar and all kinds of other things. And let's get rid of Eskom. I know it's going to be sore for the first couple of weeks, months, years. Because we're going to have to pay for all of that stuff to be put in. But man, will we be happy afterwards when we don't have to get charged like a wounded buffalo by a company that doesn't even supply the stuff that we're paying them for.
It's also just endorsing a culture of incompetence.
Oh my God.
And this is what this comes down to. So it's like, oh, but we'll lose 60,000 jobs. But that's not how you create 60,000 jobs in this country, by being useless and stealing.
What's the point of having jobs of people who are not productive?
Exactly. And you give it, you pay them through just...
All right. Well, this is not called the one thing you need to know today. So let's look at the other. So here are the others. South Africa to witness longest lunar eclipse of the century this week. Are you excited?
I was looking forward to that.
Benjamin.
It's on the 27th of July at 8:24 in the evening. Make a note now. According to the Astronomical Society of South Africa. You can look up in the sky and you will see a historic lunar eclipse at 2024 on the 27th of July.
Oh, are you looking up?
I'm looking up with Professor David Block. We've got to talk to him about that. Duduzane Zuma, you want to hear about him?
Mm. Oh, Baba got Duduzane, not Duduzane. Hey, 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 hey.
Duduzane Zuma is back in Dubai with his pregnant wife. Oh, great. Now they're more Zumas.
Hang on a second. If he was in like chains the other day, how does he get to travel now?
I don't know. Different rules for him.
Came back.
Listen.
Gave someone some money.
My fellow South Africans, break the rules. Steal as much as you want. Don't do anything that you don't want to do.
And things will still work
out. It's fine. You don't have to follow the rules. Duduzane doesn't. His attorney says he will be back in South Africa in time for his next court appearance on the culpable homicide case, which is on the 23rd of August. He flew to Dubai on Friday night with his heavily pregnant wife. I suppose you've got to say congratulations, right?
No. Okay.
I mean, let's be decent about it. One more thing. Canada. Everybody always talks about how Canada's so safe, right? And Canada doesn't have gun crime. And they don't. Compared to America, they really don't. But less than a day after a 10-year-old girl and 18-year-old woman were killed, the suspect was identified by the Independent Special Investigations Unit as Faisal Hussain, a 29-year-old Toronto resident. The man accused of fatally shooting two people and wounding 13 others on a bustling Toronto street apparently struggled with severe mental illness, his family said on Monday, as police sought a motive in the rampage. Well, I think if you look at all these people who do these mass shootings, they all suffer from some kind of mental illness. You would have to just shoot people like that.
Sure.
So, there we go. There's some things you need to know today. Let's look at Bitcoin trading at $7,787, Ethereum at $451, and over to you, Ben.
All right, today in the sport, there is lots of cricket. Dwayne Vermeulen will be back for SA full on next year. Ryan Lochte proves that he's still the stupidest person in sport, and LeBron James and what he puts into his body. So yesterday saw the end of the most dismal test series I think we've seen in recent times. The Proteas lost by... Who cares? They lost. They were never in it. Tiernis Lebrun, though, he scored 100, which was really cool because, well, Tiernis has been used as a band-aid by the Proteas. They go out, they stub their toes, and then they expect Tiernis just to sort of mop it up. And he got 100, so it's his maiden test 100, and it's a really good thing for him. Now, will he be the new number 3? Oh, who else is going to be the new number 3? So, yes, he will be. So, I mean, Amla's really, he's lost the plot. I don't know if he should be picked anymore, but they always say, you know, form is temporary, class is whatever. So he's done absolutely bugger all for the last couple of year and a half, I guess. So if Tinos goes to three, I still believe there's faith in the Elgar-Markram opening partnership. So from there, I mean, you've got Fuff, obviously, he's the captain. He'll bat number four. So who's going to bat? Sorry, he'll bat number five. Who's number four? We stick with Amla because there's no one else. Tinos is suddenly the mainstay because he actually scored 100. But yeah, you know, you take... The void was never filled after Cullis, and it certainly won't be filled after AB. Why is this the case? It's not because I'm nostalgic, it's because the guys aren't stepping up. I don't know what's happened to him. You know, I think we spoke about this a few months back. His technique is very eye-hand coordination heavy. So when you get older, but more jaded, you don't quite have the reflexes to do that. So whether it's a rethink on that technique-wise, or it's just saying, well, let's just give someone else a try. Timber Bavuma is also pretty solid. He scored a 50 yesterday, so he'll still in the mix. And Quinton de Kock, I'm sorry, but let's just give that Ginga Klaassen a go, because de Kock doesn't have the staying power for Test cricket. I know he's hugely talented, and I've always wanted him to kind of succeed and be given a chance. But, I mean, Test match cricket is about having some sort of mental fortitude. You know, Quinton de Kock doesn't have a lot mentally going on. Physically, sure. I mean, the guy's as gifted as all hell. But, I mean, he's not exactly going to be, you know, well.
Working at Eskom. Ben, you were also saying yesterday that Otis's job is to select.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not even doing that right.
Can you imagine an F1 car? It's pissing down with rain, and the team director goes, right, let's get the racing slicks on. That's essentially what he did. He picked one spinner for Sri Lanka. The Proteas batsmen haven't faced a single ball with the seam up, but Otis goes in there with three seamers of his own. Come on. So, this test series aside, they now go into ODIs. Now, this is where things get balanced out a little bit more. So, they've got five ODIs. How very exciting against Sri Lanka. And the first one will take place on the 29th. So, a little bit of a gap before they go to Dumbula. And then they'll play one T20. That'll be on the 14th of August. But more importantly, India are going to England. Now, this is huge because obviously India believe they're the best because they own cricket and all that kind of stuff. England, well, they're quite plucky when the sun does shine on their own soil. So first test, that'll be the 1st of August. That'll be in Birmingham. And then the second test will be at, I think it's at Lord's. It'll be on the 9th. So we've got a full spectrum here. We've got five test matches. So rare, but so wonderfully needed. And that'll be a real test match where coaches will pick actual proper players for the conditions available. But it's also the big test of, is Virat Kohli the real deal? Now, he can obviously go and do what he does around the world on flatter pitches. But going to England is bloody difficult for batsmen because they've got that ball, that Duke ball, does a little bit more. And as much as you might think he's overrated, Anderson does get the ball to nip around, as will the rest of the seamers. And the conditions definitely help that out. So you've got lots of cricket to look forward to, and it's bloody exciting to think that Test cricket is always at the forefront of it. Fakhar Zaman. He is the fastest ever ODI batsman to 1,000 runs in ODI cricket.
Wow.
Fakhar got them against lesser teams.
Fakhar.
I mean, he played Zimbabwe recently. This is Fakhar's last five scores. 60, 117 not out, 43 not out, 210 not out, and 85. I mean, he fucked up Zimbabwe left, right, and centre there. Oh. Played New Zealand and Sri Lanka.
Fucked up.
18 matches here.
So rude.
Now, Fakhar has set the record, previously held by a real motherfucker. So yeah, the Pakistani cricketers in the ODI format, I mean, they really are just quite dynamic.
That's great. Yeah. What a nice name to be at the top of that 1,000.
He averages 76 with a strike rate of 101.91. So yeah, Fakhar's going to, no doubt, well, you say he's going to be a big deal going forward, but you know, he won't go to the IPL because obviously India don't pick Pakistan players. And another thing about Pakistan is you never know whether they're coming or going.
Right.
So, I mean, Fakhar might get dropped just for being, who knows, you know, this is like the French of world cricket.
I'm sure some trembling commentator has to overly emphasize the H in that name. Fakhar!
Yeah, there's been some issues here.
You know what? You're enjoying swearing much too much here.
Yeah.
I have to reel you in.
Settle down, Sia. Let's not just piss all over Pakistani culture.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fakhar.
Oh, Jesus. Dwayne Vermeulen, he of course is a big deal in the Springbok lineup. He is the rock at the back there, number 8. He's got a manly grizzly beard, he's got international experience, and he's pretty much one of those players that might make the All Blacks worry about playing the box.
Huh.
So yeah, he's going to Japan now to go make some cash, and he's not going to be eligible for the Rugby Championship. Okay, cool. We'll swallow that bitter pill. But also, next year is the bigger year in rugby, really. 2019, World Cup of Rugby in Japan. So he won't be staying in Japan to play there. He'll be coming back to either play for the Bulls or the Stormers. That's according to Netwerk.
Yes.
24.
Yes.
He's like strength with the best of them, so they'll know if anyone knows. So either one of those teams. And then obviously, by playing Super Rugby for the full season, he'll no doubt get injured and will not play for the World Cup, because these players get run through the ringer in this, because that Super Rugby is so stupid. But fingers crossed, he'll play a full season of Super Rugby. He'll be managed accordingly, so he won't have to play every match of the stupid thing. And then he'll be raring to go, and a real asset for the box going to 2019. So that's a good news story. Good news story indeed. Now, we all know that LeBron James is pretty much, he's just the business. Along with Ronaldo, this is a once-a-generation, lifetime sort of talent. And the thing about him is that obviously there's huge amounts of money that get thrown around with his name. He recently signed for LA Lakers, and it's just money on money on money. But this dude, who grew up with nothing, this is completely self-made. Kendall Jenner, if you want to know what self-made is, LeBron James. There we go.
Okay.
And he's gone Kylie. Through... Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't Kylie matter. Kendall Potato Potato.
K. Jenner. So he's gone through every single process to get to where he is. And this guy apparently spends $1.5 million a year just taking care of his body. Now, that must sound like quite exorbitant, right? Well, not really. I think because he sees his body as an investment. That is his moneymaker. So he plows it all back into there. Well, say all back into there. 1.5 is dropping the ocean for him. But this guy has got some cryotherapy chambers in his house. Mm. So that's where the nitrogen... Let me get this right. I often cock these things up. So you know people have ice baths, right? Ice baths essentially help the whole healing mm-hmm. process, and so
yep.
Cryotherapy is what he's got. So it's like this massive tank, and there's like this foam, like a kind of gas and air and all kind of stuff. It looks very futuristic. So it's basically, it uses liquid nitrogen. It's more effective right. than an ice bath. But he's got hyperbaric chambers as well, which he puts nice. Himself into. This guy has got everything. He's got he's got compression sleeves and boots and shorts that he wears. I'll post the article on my Twitter feed at Follow the Bounce. You got to see what this guy does. It's so smart. So he's basically replicated his team gyms in his own house. So whatever his team has as a gym, he's got the exact same gym at his house. Any difference is, instead of having the team logo, he's got his own logo on the machines. But with all of that, he obviously has got his own chef.
Mm.
Got someone who makes him all the food that he needs, and like his trainer, you know, he got his ex-Navy SEAL who was really good at helping him get back at his core strength after his back injuries. This guy moved to Ohio just to be his personal trainer. So he's got a chef, he's got the trainer, he's got these hyperbaric chambers and the cryogenic freezing and all this kind of stuff. Plus, he is balanced. He also loves wine. Like, he spends a lot of money on wine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good so for him.
He knows his things. This is a guy with balance. This is a guy with real class.
Like,
and there's
him.
A reason why these guys good. End up staying in the game for so long. I mean, he's old now. He's 32. But there's a reason why he is the successful, because the guy sees more than himself. It's more about the bitches and the bottles. Mm. It's about really being the best. And how do you stay the best for every single year of your life?
Yes.
So LeBron James, Cristiano Ronaldo.
We salute you.
You want to throw shit at these guys? Well, you're just a moron. Or maybe they stole your girlfriend. I don't know. Everyone's got a reason. But... essentially, this is the absolute model of where sports stars need to be.
LeBron James
Simple
and Cristiano Ronaldo.
As that. Now, Ryan Lochte, we all know him as an absolute dumbass. He's a dumbass, dumbass, really. This dude's been given a 14-month ban for a doping violation. He hasn't taken anything illegal. He's just taken a personal IV drip. So, USADA, sorry. I think USADA is
some drug
terrorism.
Enforcement thing, yeah.
Drug enforcement people. You can't just somehow go and have your own IV drip in your own house. There's a certain amount of like vitamin stuff you can do by yourself. Otherwise, you've got to get a TUI and you've got to go to a hospital to have these things administered. So this dickhead, what a putz, he puts on social media, athletic recovery with some IV drip. And there he is. He's plugging the product and he's at home with this thing in his arm.
What an idiot.
So straight away they look and go, yeah, you can't do that by yourself. So he's been given a 14-month doping ban.
But is he still swimming?
Yeah, sure. He's still going. He still wants to get to the next Olympics.
Hmm.
But so look, this is the rules.
What other stupid stuff has Lochte done before? Because we know he's stupid.
He's just a dumbass. I mean, he kicked open a toilet door in Rio, I think, and then he claimed that he was held up at gunpoint and there's stuff stolen, and he's just a piece of shit. So he's basically, USADA found he had received a permitted substance, but at an infusion clinic in a volume greater than 100 mils in a 12-hour period without a therapeutic use exemption. So that's what it really boils down to. So he says, it's one of the newer laws, but I should have known better. But also, Ryan, you probably should be able to read at this stage. That's why you don't know these rules, because you can't read.
Sure.
I'm just here with the facts. Okay. Don't you roll your eyes at me. There are a couple other things in the go at the sport. Athletics South Africa is making an ass of itself again, but that's what it seems to like doing. Mm. Comrades winner, Anne Ashworth basically saying that you guys do bugger all. And you're a disgrace, and I don't want to run in your colors because you do nothing for the sport, which is all true, of course. So these guys are fired back by now labeling her as a cheat.
Really?
They've issued some kind of... They're just trying to discredit her. They're bullying her with their lawyers.
Horrible.
And she's an advocate there, so good luck with this. But yeah, she's raising good points. The fact these guys do nothing to the sport. They don't invest in runners. They don't invest in different abled qualifications either. They do nothing. And everyone knows this. But you can't call these guys on their own bluff, on their own game. So they're doing whatever they can to discredit her. They even want to strip her of her comrades' medal.
Horrible people.
Yeah.
Horrible,
this is the people
horrible
that work
people
in sport administration.
Yeah.
Dreadful fat bastards in suits who do nothing for sport and don't care about your kids either. So yeah, she's Ryan Sands. Now, we all know Ryan Sands is like the world's one of the greatest athletes in the world.
Yes.
He tweeted saying, "So Athletics South Africa are at it again." Obviously, this article I just spoke about now around Anne Ashworth. And he's saying that these guys are just a whole bunch of dicks. And this is why he'll never run at the trail running World Cup, essentially. Because he'll never run in their colors. Because he doesn't want them in his sport in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't want these guys to come close to what he does professionally.
Wow.
Pretty telling, hey, when guys speak out like that.
People really hate these guys.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That's it for sport. Right. More tomorrow.
That's plenty to go on, Ben. Thank you very much. It's over to Sia now, and let's take a look at what Sia has for us, shall we?
Well, this story this morning has really shed some light on what is going on in Turkey, and firstly, it has now pushed Turkish authorities to really make moves in the right directions in terms of aiding the blind. But I say grab your tissues, because I read this morning and kind of got me. A blind student's mother is getting an honorary law degree.
Ooh.
Because she has spent the last 4 years reading lecture notes and helping her daughter get her degree. I mean,
wow.
I am done. So these images of the mother receiving an honorary degree at the University of Sakarya in Turkey, alongside her visually impaired daughter, have been shared tens of thousands
so
of times.
Hang on, she read the notes.
All over.
She read the notes because the daughter can't see?
The daughter's blind, yeah. And people in Turkey still aren't well-versed in the likes of Braille, for example. So there are certain...
So they gave her a degree?
Yes. Well,
oh, that's bullshit.
No. The daughter has the law degree. The mother got an honorary degree for being able to be the one sitting next to the daughter. Imagine what
she did.
She
facilitated the education. She didn't write the exam.
Okay. Buti, please. Thank you. I think this is sweet.
So do I, Sia. Carry on.
Thank you. Professor Billen, who presented the award to the mother and the daughter, has now been viral on social media because of the video. The university wanted to show appreciation and recognition to Beru's mother, her name is Hava, for reading her daughter's lecture notes during her four-year course. News coverage of the award has been liked more than 58,000 times on Reddit, and one blogger's tweet calling Hava Mother of the Year has been liked more than 88,000 times. I just think this is just like sweet on another level. There was some comment on Reddit which made me laugh. This person said, "I once tried to read a chapter out of a legal textbook and I almost passed out. So this mother to do this 4 years in a row consistently says a lot. And as much as there's outpouring of praise, it really has taken a serious stance to say, Turkey, how can you be this backward? But to this mother, Hava, for devoting 4 years to helping your daughter out, man, oh man, you are doing some incredible things. I think this is sweet. And so that is your said by seer for this morning.
All right. I still don't know if she should have got the degree.
I think so. So sweet. All right.
Okay. Honorary degree, Gareth.
Okay,
she's honorary. Not, yeah, they're not saying she could use it. They're not. It's not a doctorate.
She's
somewhere.
Not rocking up here and saying, imagine, "Hi, I've got a degree."
Imagine putting it on her CV.
Go and try and hire a lawyer, and you're like, well, "What practice have you got?" Well, I read the textbook to my daughter for a couple of years.
Yeah, and I watched all of Suits.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Suits. Well, that changes everything. Please, you know, be my defense lawyer. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Very good. Poor Trevor Noah. You see, this always happens.
Why? What's going on?
Because we live in the age where everybody's trying to take everyone else down. Everybody wants to prove they are more virtuous than you. Trevor Noah apparently made a joke about Aboriginal women in 2013. You know, these days everything's recorded. So.
How dare he?
Yeah, I mean, you want to hear the joke and then we can talk about this. I think it's interesting. Let me just kill the music here for said by Sia. So this is Trevor's joke. This is what got him into trouble. And someone has found this. They've dug it up. They've cut it out. Now they're going to get outraged. This is what people do. It's time for some outrage. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
What is going on with my internet here? It shouldn't take this long. All right, well, while we're all waiting, let's twiddle our thumbs, shall we? Everybody, twiddle your thumbs. Let's see how we do here.
Well, we were talking about Eskom at the start of the show. Eskom's debt is equivalent to SA's entire budget for healthcare and education, plus another $60 billion. Plus another $60 billion.
Think about that. That's a lot of money. Do you think that could have solved a few problems? It's been stolen.
It's larger than SA's entire income from personal income tax.
There we go. Isn't that incredible?
Thank you, Tsepo David Koza on Twitter for that.
That is horrendous. I mean, we talk about Eskom and it's become a bit of a joke. But let me tell you something. This is a very serious problem. And we don't even know. I'm not sure how you start dealing with a monster like this. It seems to me almost insurmountable, the amount of theft that's going on there. And these are the guys who are meant to supply our electricity. You know, the whole economy weighs heavily on this. And by the way, all those downgrades that we were all so worried about, guess what brought them about? Eskom. I can't get this Trevor Noah clip to play. I don't know what's going on here. I have no idea what the problem is. We'll get to it later. Let me see if I can get it for after 7. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. I hope you're having a good start to your day. It is Tuesday. It's the 24th of July.
This is CliffCentral.com.